All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's Chem 30A. It is not Monday morning. It's Tuesday morning after a 3-day weekend. Feels like Monday morning. And the lab that we're supposed to be doing today, let me take one second and show you guys where that lab is at. And it could be found in a couple of different places off of the Canvas shell under modules. We're in the first module, matter and measurement, and we are doing lab number one, which is, they call it assignment one, lab activity one, math and a calculator. So under that assignment, there is a link there to be able to download that assignment itself, math and the calculator. And so you can download that. It has fairly lengthy instructions along that, in the beginning of that assignment. And so you almost really don't need the video to be able to do it. Although having some interaction, some live interaction to figure out some of these things makes it a whole lot easier, particularly with significant figures, which is what we're going to do this morning. So we went through numbers. I'll do a little recap of where we left off last time. And then we'll launch into sig figs. And then the actual exercise is down a bit here, math and the calculator. And it asks you to go through measured or exact numbers, different types of numbers, some scientific notation, some significant figures, some rounding, multiplication, division, addition, subtraction, all of those types of things. So we're going to go through the instruction necessary to do that and maybe do a few examples of each one of these this morning to get you guys off on the right foot. And so let's start that, and we'll do a little recap of where we left off last time. So the last time what we were doing, we were looking at the different types of numbers, and we said that there were essentially two types of numbers. I'm gonna swap out the glasses here for ones that are better for writing with. So I think our exercise here, math and calculator. I just want to make sure I had the title right. Okay, and so a short recap. Last time, what we went through is we looked at the two different types of numbers. We had numbers that were measured, and a measured number contained uncertainty. And then the other type were exact. And these have no uncertainty. And under the exact, there were two different types. We had values that were definitions, numbers that had been defined to be a specific value. Mostly these definitions were things like equalities. Equalities within a unit of measure system. For instance, 1 foot equals 12 inches. There's no uncertainty in the two values that the two values are essentially the same definition. They're defined to be exactly 12 inches in a foot, or we could say 1 meter equals 100 centimeters. So those are our definitions. And the other type that fit into this were counted values. Values that are exact by virtue of not being able to have partial values or decimal components. So that if we are counting objects, for instance, pens or tires or anything that you could count that comes in whole number values that cannot be divided, then those values are exact as well. So counted values these are values that that have no decimal component. Although I don't like to phrase it that way. That makes it a little bit, because sometimes we can have a measured value that has no decimal component because of the type of ruler that we're using. And so essentially what happens here with counted values are that these are just whole number values that are not divisible or cannot be divided. So that's a better way to put it. And along with that, what we did is we also looked at a short problem of calculating the area of a box and how, when you do mathematical operations with measured values, the uncertainty in the calculation needs to be taken into consideration. And so the other big thing here that we looked at was uncertainty estimation in calculations. And we showed that you can't just multiply numbers or divide numbers and report everything that the calculator shows you, that you need to take into consideration the uncertainty within each one of the measurements, and that uncertainty needs to propagate through the calculation. And we're going to have a system for doing this. That system is called significant figures. So the system for estimating uncertainty in a calculation result is called significant figures. Sometimes also called significant digits. And that's where we're going to pick it up today. And sometimes we shorten this, we just call it sig figs. So sig figs is oftentimes how we refer to this system of estimating uncertainty in a calculation. And it starts by looking at the number of significant figures within individual measurements. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through all of the sig figs rules first today and their application and how we apply them within different calculations. And there are different rules for addition, subtraction versus multiplication and division. And so we need to be clear on what those rules are and how those rules affect each one of the measurements. So this morning, where we start is significant figures. And this isn't a perfect system. It's a system that we utilize in lower levels of chemistry and even upper levels of chemistry. So as you go in from Chem 30A to even Chem 1A or Chem 1B or even Chem 12, we all operate under these same systems of significant figures. But as you get into higher levels of chemistry, upper division sorts of chemistry, they go into what's called error analysis. And the error analysis is a different way of looking at what is the exact uncertainty within a measurement. This is just a system for estimating uncertainty. And it's a simplified system, a simplified model, but it works pretty darn well. So that's what this is. This is a simplified model for estimating uncertainty. Both in a measurement and a calculation. And basically, what significant figures is it tells us how many of the digits in a value are important to the measurement and where the uncertainty resides. That's what the system does. It tells how many digits so we can say digits or figures in a measurement are important to the measurement or the calculation result. It tells us how much uncertainty is there, or where the uncertainty lies. Okay, so in order to do this, what we need to do is we need to understand and look at values, assuming that these values are measurements, where the uncertainty lies. And the problem really comes in with zeros. Zeros are the issue because sometimes zeros are placeholders and sometimes zeros are part of the measurement. And so it all becomes about zeros. And I will tell you that this is the biggest thing that people trip up on throughout all of chemistry. So when you look at all levels of chemistry, whether it's Chem 1A, Chem 1B, Chem 30A, doesn't matter. Sig figs, because of zeros, and because all zeros look alike, and you look at a zero and you say, that's a zero. Because all zeros look alike, sig figs are the things that students trip up on the most. And so this is the one place, like if you're going to get the most points out of this class and you're shooting for an A in this class, I guarantee you sig figs are the thing that you are either going to master and figure out or the thing that is going to trip you up every single time. And so I usually refer to sig figs as sort of like the bane of the chemistry student's existence because they just constantly trip everybody up. And so they can take a problem that you understand how to do the problem. You understand how to tackle it mathematically, but maybe you have some confusion on sig figs and you wind up getting a wrong answer. For me, sig figs are a lesser thing. I generally put a slightly lesser value on it and I grade with a lot of partial credit. And so if it's a 10-point problem and you do a sig fig error, I usually deduct 1 point for that sig fig error. But if you're doing that on every single problem, they start to add up. And so mastering sig figs is a critical survival skill for getting an A in a chemistry class. It's hard to do that if your sig figs are thrown off. So that's the importance. That's why we're really looking at this, and that's why I'm putting so much emphasis on this and why it's so important, okay? So let's look at these numbers, and it's all about the zeros. Sometimes zeros are part of a measurement, and sometimes zeros are placeholders for the value of a measurement. And sometimes they're just placeholders. The hard part is discerning which is which. Okay, so what we have is we have names for different zeros or ways of describing different zeros. So let's start off with a couple of values. And basically there's five or six rules that we highlight. And the rules seem unnecessarily complicated Because if you can recognize a zero that is a placeholder, then you can do sig figs. And that's all it comes down to, is that zeros that are placeholders are not significant. That's the one rule. That's the only rule that you need. A zero that is a placeholder is not significant. If you can figure that out, then you don't need the six rules. So it's like, understand the six rules or understand the one. Zeros that are placeholders are not significant. So it's all about trying to figure out whether or not a zero is a placeholder or not. And the other thing that I would say here is that a value that is written in proper scientific notation, all the values or all of the digits are significant. So that's another little key thing here that we'll put in. A value written in proper scientific notation all values or all digits are significant. And the reason is that proper scientific notation removes placeholders. There are no placeholders in scientific notation. I would say there are no placeholders, but there's no need for placeholders. And so we don't have them. There are no placeholders in scientific notation. Okay. That being said, let's break it down with the normal rules and so that we can denote the different types of zeros and where these zeros sit. And let me remind you too, feel free to stop me at any point. Feel free to unmute your microphone, throw out a question. Feel free to throw that question into the chat. Anything that comes up as we're going through these, please. I want to make sure that we get those questions answered and so that we're all on the same page. So don't feel bad about interrupting me. I get tired of the sound of my own voice, and oftentimes the questions will allow me to change the way that I'm describing something or doing something to the benefit of everybody. So please don't hold back on those questions. If you've got them, throw them out there. Okay. So these are the standard sort of sig figs rules. Number one, any zero or all non-zero digits are significant. So here we go. All non-zero digits are significant. Remember, it's all about placeholders, and zeros can be placeholders. So if it's a non-zero, it's significant. These are numbers like 1.732. Let's give it meters. This would have a number of sig figs. This would be 4 sig figs. I can do numbers, so we can just throw in one or two more examples. Let's do 3.71 or 4,562. And let's do feet. Let's do liters. And so the number of sig figs, this would be 3 sig figs. This would be 4 sig figs. So if there are no zeros, every digit is significant. Good morning, Felipe. Thanks for joining. Okay. The next rule, So all non-digit zeros are significant. Any zero that is in between non-zeros is significant. We can refer to those as sort of a captive zero, a zero which shows up between two non-zero values. Any zero between non-zero values or non-zero digits is significant. We can call these captured zeros or flanked zeros. There's a number of different ways that we could refer to them. Okay, zeros like this, these guys show up as 1.02700 3.1 0. No, I don't want to do that value. Let's do another one, 10.023. Okay, and these are milliliters and gallons and feet, so that we have, remember that for every measurement, it includes both a value and a unit. So we're not looking at just values. The units are also important, and every value should have a unit associated with a value. There's very few that are unitless. We'll find a few, things like pH and some other values that we'll see as we go through chemistry that are unitless. However, almost all values should be associated with a unit. Okay, these zeros, the zero that is here is flanked between two non-zeros. The zeros here are flanked between two non-zeros. The zeros here are flanked between two non-zeros. So in that flanking, what I'm looking at is I'm saying, all right, here's a non-zero and here's a non-zero, and that the zeros are in between those non-zero values. That makes these zeros significant. And so the number of significant digits in each one of these are 3 sig figs. Let's do it this way. Let's take sig figs. Let's put it up on top so we don't have to write it every time. So we got 3 sig figs. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 sig figs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, another 5 sig figs. And so you can see that those zeros are significant. They're part of the measurement. Okay, the next rule is that a zero to the left of non-zeros is not significant if it's not flanked. So a zero to the left of non-zeros is a placeholder. And is not significant. So what does a value like this look like? Let's look at 0.00321, 0.064, 0.00007, and let's do seconds, and we'll do milliliters again, and let's do inches for this one. Okay, so these values are values that are less than one. The values that are less than one, these zeros that are out in front, are placeholders for the actual measurement itself. And so these placeholders, let's underline these placeholders in a particular color. These guys are not in between. And I always put a leading zero out here like this too. So let me underline that leading zero, because the leading zero is only out there to make the decimal point more clear. If you made that zero go away, for instance, if I go in and I erase that zero, the value still has the same, but what happens is the decimal point gets a little bit harder to read. And because the decimal point gets a little bit harder to read, I always like to include that leading zero in there before the decimal. So these guys are placeholders for the actual measurement. And if I were to write these measurements in scientific notation, then those leading zeros go away. So for instance, I can take and I can write this value in scientific notation, and I can say that this is 3.21 times 10 to the minus third seconds. This one equals 6.4 times 10 to the minus second milliliters. And the last one would be 7 times 10, let's be careful with this one, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to the minus fifth, and that's inches. And all of a sudden now, the zeros are gone. The zeros were placeholders, and the number of significant figures that are now in this measurement, or these measurements, so here's our sig figs. This would be 3 and 2 and 1. Now the zeros are gone. And the measurement in scientific notation shows all of the significant figures. Let me show you one more value here. Let's do this. Let's do 0.3026. And let's say that this is in joules. This measurement, when written into scientific notation, translates to 3.026. I guess I should have another zero in there. Let me amend this value. There we go, 0.03026. Now there's a couple of different types of zeros. There's a zero here, which are placeholders. And then, what did we use for the captive? I think I used red for a captive. I was trying to be consistent. There we go, I did. I used red for a captive. So let's do that. That's a captive zero that's in the center. And so this measurement becomes 3.026 joules. Times 10, I forgot my scientific notation. Times 10 to the minus 1. Now we have joules, times 10 to the minus 2. Oh, I'm making mistakes all over the place. I need my tea. I told you, it feels like a Monday. Sometimes that's the way it goes. Okay, so what did I do here? I moved the decimal place two places to the right, thus the minus 2. The negative indicates that we are looking at a value which is less than 1. And these two zeros that were out in front that were placeholders are now gone. In scientific notation, they're not needed. And the only zero that remains is the captive zero. So there's my captive zero. And this turns out to be 4 sig figs. Remember that a value written in scientific notation, all of the digits, zeros and all, if it's proper scientific notation, they are all significant. So one way to be sure about how many sig figs there are in a value is to put it into proper scientific notation. And then it removes all the guesswork out of the zeros. Okay, so a zero to the left of non-zeros is a placeholder and is not significant. Okay, next type of zero. A zero to the right of the decimal and to the right of values is significant. And this one is the one that gets a lot of people. A zero to the right of the decimal and to the right of non-zeros is significant. And part of the measurement. We call these trailing zeros. That's the type of zero that these are, trailing zeros. Oh, we didn't give a number or a name to these guys. These guys, these are leading zeros. So we have zeros which are captive, zeros which are leading, zeros which are trailing. So those are our different types. And under these trailing zeros, let's take a look at these types. Okay, this is 7.600. Let's do 100.0. Let's do 30.6200. All right, so here's a number of different types of measurements. Let's make these meters. Let's make these kilometers. And let's make these seconds in this one. Okay, these zeros that are in these locations, these are trailing zeros. And these trailing zeros, here's our decimal point, and we're falling to the right of the decimal point and to the right of non-zeros. Same thing here. This guy is after the decimal point. So there's my decimal point, and it's falling to the right of the decimal point. My decimal point and falling to the right of that decimal point and the non-zeros. That makes these zeros trailing zeros. And the trailing zeros are significant. And so when I look at the number of significant figures in each one of these measurements, the number of sig figs in each one of these, this would be four sig figs. And the last one would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 sig figs in the last one. And if we put these numbers into proper scientific notation, sometimes that can help us to be able to see these zeros in a slightly different light. The way that I would put these into proper scientific notation, this would be 7.600 times 10 to the zero. This would be 1.000 times 10 to the second. And the last one would be 3.06200 times 10 to the first. And now what you can see is that the zeros are falling into a couple of different types. We have the trailing zeros. We have all trailing zeros. Here we have two trailing zeros and we have a zero which is a captive zero. And so trailing and captive zeros are all significant. And that makes these numbers a little bit easier to understand. So why is it that these trailing zeros are significant? Why are these part of the measurement? If I take away the zeros, the value is still the same in all of these. Let's take these numbers and let's look at what happens if I get rid of them, get rid of the zeros. What happens if I remove the zeros? Well, if I take and I remove the zeros, this becomes 7.6 times 10 to the zero. This becomes 1 times 10 to the second. And this becomes 3.062 times 10 to the first. The value has not changed. 7.6 times 10 to the zero, 7.6 times 10 to the zero. 1 times 10 to the second, 1 times 10 to the second. 3.062 times 10 to the first. Removing the zeros does not change the value. So then why were the zeros included? The only reason to include the zeros was to tell you how good the ruler was. And because they were telling you how good the ruler was, essentially what we're saying is that by including these zeros, the measurement fell directly on one of the lines, the measurement lines on the ruler. And because the measurement fell directly on the line on the ruler, we needed to include a zero to tell how good the ruler was. And so these types of trailing zeros are all about telling you how good the ruler was. And they were important in figuring out how much uncertainty was in the measurement based on the ruler. So the only reason to include these, because the value does not change, this is the key part, because the value does not change, by removing these zeros, they were important to the measurement, and they were only included because they were important to the measurement. Accurate is a different word. Wendy, let me, and Daisy, let me get the question in a second. So accurate versus, I'll answer those in a second. Because the value does not change by removing these zeros. The zeros were only included. They were only included because they were part of the measurement. Got too close to the, there we go. All right, so Daisy, so when there are zeros, it means that it's more accurate compared to if there was a number in its place. Not exactly. I'm gonna try to answer that question, Daisy. Let me see Wendy's. So it's about being more accurate, the amount of places you go past the decimal. I'm having trouble with the word accurate, and I need to explain that why. And so why isn't the second number also 10 to the zero? Because I made a mistake. So Felipe, you caught me in a mistake, and that was a good catch. That should be 10 to the zero, not 10 to the first. Thank you on catching that, Felipe. Okay, now let me deal with this word accurate.
Jason, real quick.
Yeah.
I guess I don't understand why 1.000 times 10 to the second, why that number isn't also
because
0 to the 0, 10 to the 0 power.
Okay, so here's the thing. Here what I did was, I don't think I made a mistake. Felipe, let me check, and now that I hear your question. We started with 7.600. We put that into scientific notation. It's already looking like it's in scientific notation. 10 to the zero is one. So I'm saying I'm multiplying this number by one so it doesn't change its value. So The first one is times 10 to the zero. The second one was 100.0. I'm moving the decimal place one, two decimal places to the left. So it becomes 1.000 times 10 to the second. 10 to the second is 100. So this is multiplying this number by 100. That would move the decimal place over two places to the right to get back to the original value. The last one is 30.6200. And I want to move the decimal place over to the left one place. And so I need to take that and make it 3.06200 times 10 to the first. That's times 10. And so that would move my decimal place back to the original value of 30 to the right. Okay, so now back in here, all I was doing was removing these zeros. And so I did not want to change my scientific notation from the original. So I did not quite make an error. I'm gonna go back and fix these values. It was 1.00 times 10 to the second and 3.062 times 10 to the first. Okay, so I'm not changing the scientific notation in the left to the right. All I'm doing is removing these zeros, which are underscored in green. So that was the only change that was made in each one of these values. Okay?
Okay.
And Daisy, I see you are simply condensing it, but it's still the same number. Yes, Daisy, correct. Okay. Now, as to Daisy and Wendy, your question and this word of accuracy. There are two terms, and this should be an aside to the discussion because I have one more type of zero that we need to talk about, and so I don't want to kind of get into the list here. And so this is an aside discussion of accuracy versus precision. We have a language that we use to describe these two terms when taking measurements, and they are about taking successive measurements. So if we take 10 measurements, how closely do those measurements agree, and how closely are they related to the true value? So oftentimes this is done with an archery sort of analogy. So if we look at creating concentric circles and a bullseye, and let me copy this, and we will make a couple of bullseyes. And let's copy this whole thing. Okay, so we've got a couple of bullseyes here. What we can do is we can look at a series of hits, essentially, thinking about this in terms of archery, that if I hit in the bullseye all the time, and these are six values, six measurements, and the six measurements all closely agree and are on target. Meaning that the measurements agree with each other, and the measurements are close to the actual value. That's what we're saying here. So the measurements agree with each other, and the measurements are close to the actual value. We say that these measurements are both accurate and precise. So the accuracy is about how close they are to the true value. So this measurement close to the actual value, this is where we say that these measurements are precise, or accurate. And up here, measurements agree with each other. These are about the precision or being precise. The other sort of issue that we can have is the arrows can fit all up here. The aim was off. You can imagine that the balance was incorrectly calibrated, and yet it's a very good balance, but because the calibration on the balance is off, I'm hitting in the wrong spot on the target all the time. And so I'm not close to the actual value, but all the measurements are very closely agreeing. So these six measurements are all together, but off on target. On all agree, but are off due to some calibration thing. And so these measurements, while they agree with each other, these measurements are precise, but they are not accurate. And then the other thing that can happen is that the measurements can be all over the map. So we could be hitting all over the place. And when I go through and I average them out, the average of these will give me the right answer. These measurements are not precise, but in average are accurate. So here we have six measurements all off, but on average, we'll agree. This is an instrument that has a lot of variation in it. The instrument itself has very little precision. However, so on our different balances, sometimes we can have a balance that will weigh to a tenth of a gram, or a balance that will weigh to a hundredth of a gram. So a balance that will weigh to one decimal point, or a balance that will weigh to two decimal points. Analytical balances in the lab can oftentimes weigh to four decimal points. And we have instruments that are even more precise than that. So, those balances which are not precise, which weigh only to one decimal point, are not the best balances for us to use, but they can be very accurate if they if you take a whole lot of successive measurements and average those measurements out. So this is not precise, but accurate. Okay, so that's why I have that issue with the word accurate, because the way that you both used it, Daisy and Wendy, is that you were using accurate when you meant to be using precise. Accurate is about the true value, whereas precision is about how well do we know that value. So the additional places you go past the decimal give you more precision. That is correct, Wendy. That is why I wanted to correct that term, and I was having trouble with that term. So we needed to do an aside there to fix that. And this becomes important when we're actually talking about measurements, is because we want to use the right language and the right terms to describe precision and accuracy. So that's good, and that's helpful. All right. So what was happening in these measurements, when we got rid of these zeros, is we were losing precision. And in the loss of that precision, the number of sig figs change. And so these zeros were only included after the decimal point because the measuring device was more precise and they needed to be included to include the precision. So precision is telling me about uncertainty in a way. So that was important. So trailing zeros are only included because they're part of the measurement and because they tell you about the precision of the instrument itself. So that's important. Okay. And then we have one more type of zero, last type of zero. The last type of zero is a zero that is to the left of the decimal place, but to the right of values. So these zeros, these are called trailing zeros. These are zeros to the left of the decimal, and to the right of non-zeros. These are called trailing zeros, or We use trailing zeros for the other one. I need to find a new name for these. I don't want to call these trailing. What do I want to call these? I want to call these are placeholders. That's the best way to put it. Okay, so these numbers, these are numbers like 13,000, maybe 2160, and let's do 7600. Okay, so we need some, let's do feet again, let's do meters, and let's do a big one, kilometers. Okay, these zeros, I liken these to money, so that if you called up the bank and you said, how much money do I have in my account? And you had $13,000 in your account, and they just ignored these zeros and they said you had $13 in your account. $13 has a different value than 13,000. And the zeros here are being included because they are giving the value of this 13 to the thousands position. And these zeros are only included to give that place value. And so these are placeholders. And if I wanted to put this into scientific notation, these zeros go away. It would be 1.3 times 10 to the fourth feet. This one would be 2.16 times 10 to the third meters. And this one would be 7.6 times 10 to the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to the fifth. And the number of significant zeros in these sig figs would be 2, 3, and 2 in terms of the number of significant figures. So how are these zeros different than our trailing zeros that came after the decimal place? This is the hardest thing to understand. This is where it all falls apart and everything just goes off the rails, because trying to understand why these zeros are not significant and yet these trailing zeros that come after the decimal place are significant, it's all about what happens if I take them away. Let's look at two different values and what happens if I take the zeros away from two different values. Okay, so let's take our value that was the 13,000. That was a great value to work with. So this was 13,000. And let's take a number where the zeros are trailing after the decimal place. Let's take a number which is 1.6200. Let's take the zeros away and see what happens to the value. If I take the zeros away, this becomes 13. If I take the zeros away, this becomes 1.62. 13 versus 13,000. These don't have the same value at all. These are not the same value. The 13 and 13,000 are completely different numbers. However, if I look at 1.6200 versus 1.62, they have the same intrinsic value. They don't have the same precision, but they have the same value. Does that make sense? Is that clear? They have the same value, but not the same precision. And so these zeros that are trailing, the only reason to include these zeros is because these zeros are significant. Significant to the precision. the zeros that are here that are these placeholder zeros, these guys are not significant to the precision. They're significant to the value. And that's the difference between these two different types of zeros. So these guys here are significant to the value. I need a new, I don't know what number, what I did with these. Let's do it this way. These guys are significant to the value. And so something that is significant to the precision is only included because it's significant. Something which is significant to the value must be included, but is not significant to its precision. So here's the thing. Let's take a number. Let's look at it this way. This usually makes it a little bit more clear. Let's take that 13,000 that we said could be written in scientific notation as 1.3 times 10 to the fourth. And this has two sig figs. So we'll look at the number of sig figs. Now let's take it and write it in scientific notation. And let's write it 1.30 times 10 to the fourth and 1.300 times 10 to the fourth and 1.3000 times 10 to the fourth. And how many significant digits does it now have once I put it into the scientific notation in these ways? Now I'm looking at 3 sig figs, 4 sig figs, 5 sig figs. Basically what we do is we take it from a measurement that was in decimal form, which has ambiguity in it. So this guy out here is in decimal form. And this is in scientific notation. And in decimal form, there's ambiguity in the zeros. And we have a rule that says how many of the zeros are significant. We'll go through that rule in just a second. In scientific notation, they turn them into trailing zeros, and these trailing zeros then become significant. So a number written in proper scientific notation, all of the digits are significant. However, a number written in decimal form with zeros like this, it's very difficult to tell how many of these zeros are significant or not. So here's what we normally do. This is what your textbook does. Your textbook says that, and I believe this is the way that Krista is doing it as well. 13,000. These zeros are placeholders. And the value has two sig figs. 13,000 with a decimal place. The decimal place, when we include it, is treated as a non-zero. In treating it as a non-zero, these zeros now become captive zeros because they're between the 3 and the decimal. And so this is said to have now all of them, 5 sig figs. But what if I want 3 or 4 sig figs? How do I communicate 3 or 4 sig figs with a number that is like this? What we do is we use proper scientific notation. So if you want, three or four sig figs, use scientific notation. So we would do it as 1.30 times 10 to the fourth, or we would do 1.300 times 10 to the fourth, and now it would have 3 sig figs and 4 sig figs. And that's how we communicate it. We change it into scientific notation and then we deal with it that way. So it's all about dealing with zeros. If you understand where a zero is a placeholder and where a zero is not, then sig figs become easy. And so I feel like by going through all the rules, I've just made it more complicated. If we just say placeholders are not significant, that's all we need. That's the entire rule. Okay, so let me throw down a bunch of numbers and then let's see what's significant and what's not. All right, so here is examples. And we'll just go through and I'm gonna have you guys tell me how many sig figs, and then we'll map out the different types of zeros that are there. Okay, so examples. Let's do 0.00620. We'll do some complicated ones. 10.02. Let's do 3.6007. Let's do 1390. And let's do 1062. 0.0, 1200 and 1200 with a decimal place. And I know I didn't include any in scientific notation, so maybe I need to. Let's do 1.6900 times 10 to the third. Okay, we got a bunch of values here and we're gonna track the number of sig figs. So we'll do a list of significant figures for each one of these. First value. How many sig figs are in this first value? Okay, and so what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna highlight out for you quickly that these guys here are placeholders for the value and that this one is a trailing zero. So how many sig figs? Be careful, because the only reason to include a trailing zero that is to the right. And I'll put it in this, let's do it this way. I'll convert it into scientific notation and we'll put it into scientific notation. Okay, so in scientific notation, this number reads 6.20 times 10 to the minus 3. Okay, so what's happening is placeholders that are holding the value, when written in scientific notation, the placeholders go away and the trailing zero, the zero which is after the decimal, to the right of the decimal, is there and is the only one that is significant. So this has three sig figs. So we got rid of the placeholders by putting it into scientific notation. Okay, this one, if I put it into scientific notation, this would be 1.002 times 10 to the first power. So how many sig figs in this value? These are going to be our captive zeros. So these zeros are captive in between non-zeros. So we can see, and four is the right number. Okay, so we've got four sig figs here. All right, here we've got two more captives. If I were to put this into scientific notation, the scientific notation would be 3.6007 times 10 to the zero. So how many sig figs in that one? I think I'm seeing new answers in there. Nope, I'm not seeing new answers. Five, good, Maggie. Okay, so this one has five sig figs. All of the digits are significant. What about the 1000? That was a comma. I'm gonna get rid of it because sometimes commas can look like decimal places and we wanna be clear. So this number, we need to be careful of this zero because the zero that is here is a placeholder and we don't have a good, that's our placeholder zero. It is to the left of the decimal, but to the right of non-zeros. It is only included for the accuracy, it is only included for the value of the measurement, not the accuracy or precision. Oh my God, it's Monday. It's one of those Mondays. I'm gonna fix it all. It's gonna be okay. All right, let's write this in scientific notation. 1.39 times 10 to the third. That zero was only being included for the value And it was not included for any other reason. This is the rule that we use, which is going to be covered down here in this one where I include the decimal. So these will make it a little bit more clear. This one has 3 sig figs in it. And that zero is only there as a placeholder. Looking to see if there's any more questions. Okay. The zeros that are here, this is 1620.0. These zeros, this one in the middle is a captive zero. And the zero on the end, we were doing in red. Yeah, this is a trailing zero. And so this value, when placed into proper scientific notation, all of the zeros are significant. This would be 1.6200, turning them now both into trailing. And this is going to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, I need to put the times 10 to the third. And that is going to turn it into 5 sig figs. Let's get my captive zeros so that I'm being consistent. There's my captives. There's my captives. And the other one went away. Okay. This one. This is 1.2 times 10 to the third. These zeros that were here were placeholder values, and they went away when I wrote it into scientific notation. This value is only going to have 2 sig figs. This value, the next one, this decimal place, is being treated like a non-zero. And that is going to put these two zeros between two non-zeros and turns them into captive zeros. So there's my captive zeros. This number, when I write it into scientific notation, becomes 1.200 times 10 to the third, and as such becomes 4 sig figs. And the last one is already written in scientific notation. And being written in scientific notation, these two zeros are trailing. And because they're trailing, they're all significant. So this is a value that has 5 sig figs in the last one. Okay, got it, Daisy. So this one has 5 sig figs. All right, so let me scroll out so that we can see the whole screen. And let's highlight out, let's do it this way. We have, what did I call these guys that were out in front? Leading zeros. So we have our leading zeros. We have our trailing zeros. We have our captive zeros. And we have our placeholders. The leading zeros we did in the green color. Leading zeros are only there to help us keep the place value of a decimal, of a number that is less than zero. The trailing zeros are there and are included to the right of a decimal place. Those ones to the right of the decimal place are there for the precision. They're telling us about the precision. So these guys are about precision. The leading zeros are placeholders. The captive zeros are in blue. Captive zeros are zeros that are falling between non-zeros. And these placeholder ones, these are falling to the right. These are the ones that we did in pink. And those placeholders are to the right of the decimal. They're another type of placeholder zero. And so basically what's happening is these placeholder values are not significant. And these ones for precision in between non-zeros, these are significant. Does that make it a little bit clearer in terms of the different types of zeros? Okay, so Wendy, still not sure on the 1620.0 reasoning for keeping the zero right of the decimal with the non-zero. The decimal to the, yes. I needed to read that question a couple of times, Wendy. Yes, a zero that is to the right of the decimal place, its only reason for being there is because it's significant, except this problem right here. Wendy, look at this one. These zeros, the two that are right here, those zeros are to the right of the decimal. And yet they are not significant. These two zeros are only holding the place value for the six and the two. And so that's the problem with wording it the way that we're trying to word it. That if we say all zeros to the right of the decimal are significant, it's an untrue statement or an untrue statement. It's untrue because sometimes when there is a value which is less than one, then these zeros that are to the right of the decimal are holding the place for the value which is less than one, and they are not significant. So in order to clarify that, we need an and statement, we need a coupler in there. If the zero is to the right of the decimal and to the right of non-zeros, then it is always significant. If the zeros are to the right of the decimal, but to the left of non-zeros, then they are not significant. That's how we clarify that. I hope that helps, Wendy. Okay, Felipe, yeah. So you guys, anybody who has to run, welcome to run. And we're supposed to be done here in a few minutes anyway. We didn't really get to go through the sig figs rules. Those rules are a little bit faster and a little bit easier anyway. That should give you most of what you need in order to be able to do the worksheet in figuring out what are significant and what are not. It just comes down to a quick sig fig rule or two to be able to do calculations. And in the few minutes that I've got left, let me highlight those out. So rules for multiplication. For sig figs in multiplication. So the rules for sig figs in multiplication and division is that we round the answer to the smallest number. So for instance, if I'm multiplying 1.62, and let's do these in meters, times 3.2 meters, and I get a result and I put that into the calculator, I get 3.2 times 1.62. The answer that I get is 5.184. 5.184, this would be meters squared. And the number of sig figs in each one of these values, this is 3 sig figs, this is 2 sig figs. I round my answer to 2 sig figs. So in rounding that to 2 sig figs, this would be 5.1 meters. If the value to the right of where I'm rounding, 5.2. If the value to the right of where I'm rounding is greater than 5, I round up. And if the value to the right is less than 5, I round down. And so that's how I would go through and do that. We round to the smallest number of sig figs that are in the calculation. If I have numbers that I am multiplying and dividing, let's say that I am multiplying 10.72. Let's just do it in meters just to make it easy. And this is times 15.6 meters, and I'm dividing by 3.1 meters. Then when I go through and do this in the calculation, it's 10.72 times 15.6 and divided by 3.1. So these types of values, you get a whole number of decimals that come out, a whole lot of decimals, 53.945806451 6. This would be in meters. And I take a look at the sig figs that went into that calculation. It was 4, it was 3, it was 2, the smallest number being 2. I need to round this answer to 2 sig figs. I am rounding the 3 to the 9, the 9 being greater than 5. I will round the 3 up to the next value up. So it becomes 54. This answer equals 54 meters and has 2 sig figs. And what I like to do is I like to box in my answers so that when I report my final answer, it's easy for your instructor to be able to find it on your page underneath all the calculation that's going on. And that's how we do that. So when it is multiplication or division, we take a look at the numbers going in, we choose the smallest, and we round the answer to the smallest, because the answer can be no more accurate than the least accurate piece of data that is going into it, or no more precise, that's the word that I want. The answer can be no more precise than the least precise piece of data that is going into the calculation. For addition and subtraction, the precision rule also applies, but the way that we apply precision is different in addition and subtraction. So in addition and subtraction, precision is about place value. Okay, so here, when we add a couple of numbers, let's add a few numbers. 0.1620, 10.62, 3.102. Okay, in this case, if I'm adding up these three values, and these are all values in meters, the last significant digit in each one of these, this one is in the trailing zero. This one is in the hundredths position, and this one is in the thousandths position. So that when I add these values up, and I need to scooch this value over just a little bit, this one can only be as accurate as the least precise piece of data that goes into it. And precision value wise, if I take a line and I drop that line down and I move that line to show me precision wise where the least precise value, place value is, the least precise place value falls in this value here in the 10.62 in the hundredths position. It's the value that goes up and down the most. This is going up and down plus or minus 0.01. This one is going up and down plus or minus 0.0001. And this one plus or minus 0.001. So this one is the measurement with the least precision. And my answer can only be precise, as precise as the least precise piece of data. So when I add all these measurements up, what I get is 0, 4, 8, 8, 3, and 1, 13.8840. My rounding occurs at the same location as my least precise piece of data. And so the answer that I would report for this has nothing to do with sig figs, meaning it's not about which one has the least or the most sig figs. It's which one is the least precise, which is what was happening with multiplication and division as well. It's just the way that I use it is slightly different. This answer gets reported to 13.88 meters and would have 4 sig figs. So when I look at the number of sig figs, this had 4 sig figs. This value had 4 sig figs. This one had 5 sig figs, but 1, 2, 3, 4 had 4 sig figs, but my rounding is by place value and goes with the least precise. And so that's my rules for addition and subtraction. Ariella, so if I have something like 1, 3, 6 times 5, then what would I round it to? Because 5 is only 1 sig fig. You would round to 1 sig fig. That's a great question. Let's look at that. I love that question. So what I'm doing is 136.1 meters, and I'm multiplying that by 5 meters, and I'm getting a result which is 680.5 meters squared. Good way of doing the squared. You did that exactly right. And I've got 4 sig figs and 1 sig fig. I need to round this answer to 1 sig fig. The way that we would do that is we would say that this would be 700 square meters, and that 700 square meters would be read as 1 sig fig. You could also put it into scientific notation, which would be a better way, 7 times 10 to the second meters squared, and that would be in scientific notation to 1 sig fig, and that is a great question and a great place to end it on. And that's how we would do that. Those numbers are more difficult numbers, rounding the numbers. The way that I always say that, here's the way that I say it, Ariella, is that if you had $680.50 at the bank and you called up the bank and you said, how much money, just give me an estimate, how much money do I have in the bank? They should tell you that you have $700 in the bank, 1 sig fig. So they would round it to 700. They wouldn't say you have $7 because you'd freak out. If you had $680 and they just told you, oh, you would just have $7 in the bank, the value would be 700 would be the estimate. So always think about it in terms of estimating money and you'll get it right, because intuitively we know how to estimate it in terms of money. And that's the way that we would do it. So I hope that that answers that question. I'm over time here. You've got time to be able to, or you've got all the information that you need, I think, to be able to go through and do that worksheet at this point. If anybody wants to stay on the line, or if anybody needs to go, I should say, you're welcome to go. If anybody wants to stay on the line and ask a few more questions, I'm happy to hang on and answer a few more questions for you. And other than that, I'd say you guys are good to go here. Good, I'm glad you found it helpful. Like I said, if anybody wants to stay on and has any questions, feel free to shoot those questions at me. And if not, I'll see you guys later. You're welcome, Claire. You're welcome, Spencer. Nice to see you guys. Thanks for joining me this morning. Seems like things are quiet. Spencer, Wendy, any questions? Are you just waiting to see, just waiting to catch those last questions in case anybody asks anything? That happens frequently too. All right, Wendy, if there's no further questions, I'm going to end it. and I'll see you guys later.